Okay, if you're being recorded, I guess the shiur is going to begin. Parsha Shmini, tonight is Shabbos Parsha Shmini. In Yiddish folklore, they used to say Shmini Shmeina Shmeina Shana. Then in a year, when you're laying Parsha Shmini 8 times, it's going to be a successful year. It'll be a fat year. What does it mean Shmini Shmeina? Parshas Tzav, in a normal year, not a Shana Moberes, so it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Parshas Tzav is always Shabbos HaGadol. So on Shabbos afternoon, by Mincha, Yelein, next week's Sedri, Yelein Shmini. So then I'm Sheni B'Chamishi also. If Pesach doesn't come before Thursday, so you're going to Yelein Shmini on Shabbos afternoon and Parshas Tzav, then you're going to Yelein on Monday and Thursday morning. Then there's going to be a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, so you're going to learn again. Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we're going to learn Psal Lecha on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, you're learning Psal Lecha. But Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, you're going to learn again, Parsha Shmini. And then Pesach will be over, and you'll learn again, Sheni B'Chamishi, Parsha Shmini. Then on Shabbos, you'll learn Parsha Shmini. So I think that's 8 times. Let's see. Shabbos Parsha Tzav, Sheni B'Chamishi. Then Shabbos afternoon, Chab Shabbos Chol HaMoed, then again Sheni V'Chamishi. That's only 6. I forgot already how you get. Anyway, I don't remember how it works out. But that's the Yiddish expression. Shmini Shmeina. If you're laying Parsha Shmini 8 times, Shmeina Shana, it'll be a fat year. It'll be a successful year. The beginning of the Parsha tells about the special Hayroa Shoa Korbanos that were brought. Some of them had to be paid for by Aaron, private Korban Yochid. Some of them had to be paid for by the Tzibur, Korban Tzibur. And Rashi comments on the Chatos HaKohol, that it says that the Chelev they burnt on the Mizbeach. Chelev they burnt on the Mizbeach. There's a boy here, Pasuk Yud Aleph, chapter test. There's a boss of a sorcerer, Rabbi Esh Michutz Lamachana. So Rashi writes, Lamatina Chatis Chitzen and the Sref is Elazu. This is the only time this was a Hiroshua. It's not exactly accurate. You find a few other times. You have a Chatis Chitzen. There are Chatos Pneumios. Chatis Hashiva Medoma, the Kurdish Pneumo. You have a parhalam davishal tzibar and soyer nasi, which is a chatas hapnimis. You do this rikas hadam in the heichal. Shchit is in the azara, but this rikas hadam is in the heichal. So that the pasuk says chatas shuiz ashiyuva midama la kodesh pnimo beish tistarv. That we know, but yeah, he was talking about a chatas chitzena. Have a few more times in Tanakh in the days of Ezra when they built the second Beis Hamikdash also, there was a Chatas Chitzain in the Sreifas then, I think in earlier in Tanakh, in the end of the Bais Rishon period, days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, I think also there's a Chatas Chitzain that was in the Sreifas. Apparently, there are Midrashim, the role of the Malbim has other, based on Midrashim, that all of these chatos were brought to be mechaper on Avodah Zarah. So that's Nisrefes. There's a Rashi has a comment in the first parak in Yuma. Rashi, all the Avodah that was done on Shmini Lemnoi, how did it be done by Aaron HaKohen? He needed Dafka Aaron HaKohen. The Rashi asks, the Rashi that it's against the Chumash. It says that Bnei Aharon did the Hoychas Adam. Aaron did the Zrikas Adam. Here, it says, Vayakriv Bnei Aharon Sadam Elove Boy Badam. Chat, you need Mata and Etzba. By all the other carbonis, you take the dam and it's either Zarek Meirocha, Kershefich Mikoreb, next to the Mizbeach, whatever it is. There's Damam Tishbach Ali Sadam. There's some carbonis, the last daf in Psochim. Gemara says some carbonis do zrika meirachek and some carbonis ba. So it says vayit bala b'lamik vayitin karnas amzbeach. Aaron did the zrika sadam, but by Can Rashi say that it's like Yom Kippur, just like a Avodas Yom
Kippur? Rebbe, you're muted.
I'm muted. So what do I do?
No, we can hear you now. Oh, muted again. Oh, you're still muted.
Now you're good.
Should be good.
I'm okay. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Very good. So the Rashi says that Rashi is against the Chumash. So he said you probably have to say that Rashi didn't mean that the actual avoda should be done by Aaron HaKohen and Shmini Lemiluim. Aaron HaKohen had to supervise it. All year long, there's no such dinner kohen head you can do the avoda. It's the function of the kohen gadol in general to supervise all the cross hakorbanos all day long, every day. But especially on Shmini Lemiluim, Aaron had to supervise everything. And we have the Pasuk for Shlishi. It's Pasuk chapter 10. It's Pasuk called Beis. V'yis Aaron Nesiyot HaBalam V'Ibarchem. Aaron did Nesiyot HaBalam V'Iduchim. V'Yerd Me'asot HaShlamim. So the Chatas and the Oilu HaKotshishim. There are two kinds of Shlamim. The Shalmei Yochid and Shalmei Tzibur. This is a Shalmei Tzibur. Usually Shalmei Tzibur is only once a year. On Shavuos, Gibsi Atzeres of Shalmei Tzibur. So the Mishnah says in the Zemek Haiman, Zivche Shalmei Tzibur Bashamas, Arkot Shikotch, Mishchitos HaMatzofen. So here also the Pashtus is that the Shalmei Tzibur was a Kot Shikotch. There's a problem which the Meforshim in the back of the Gemara in Zvachim are bothered with the Kasha. That when Moshe Rabbeinu instructs Bnei Aharon that they should eat in Revi, Kulas Tamencha Hanesaris Meisha Hashem Lichula Matzah Eitzel Hamizbech. When he made Eitzel Hamizbech, Kodesh Kodosh Mi, Machal Tamasa B'Makom Kodesh, because Kodesh Kodeshim can only be eaten in Yazor. Bes Chazei Hatnufa B'Shoy Kachum Atochlu B'Makom Tohar. So Rashi quotes from the Torah, what would it be Mamakam Tohar? It's also a Mamakam Kodesh. And the first one was eaten Mamakam Tomei. The Hanaseres Ben HaMincha was eaten Mamakam Tomei. So Rashi explains, no. The first one, the Mincha, was a Kodesh Kodosh, and it has to be eaten in the Azor. The Shlomim is a Kodeshim Kalim, so that can be eaten in the whole Yerushalayim. And over here, it can be eaten in the whole Machne Yisrael. So the Meforshim in the back of the Gemara in Zochim asked the Kasha. I remember I once asked the Kasha, and it took me a long time till I found in the back of the Vilna Shas, they asked that kash. How can it be? It's against the Allah. It's a Shalmei Tzibur. It's also a Kotchi Kotchi. So that is a problem. Anyway, so the Gemara has a comment in all the dinim of Duchening, and most of the dinim of the Siyas Kapayim appear in Soito, in Perek Elu Nemorim. That's around the Lamed or so, in the middle of Soito. Elan Amarim is like a Briensha Maseches Brachas. It has all the dinim of davening and Kriyashma. So it gives you the different mitzvahs that are fulfilled by Dibur, reciting Kriyashma, reciting Bichsam Mazen, Shemayin Esrei, Kriyas HaTorah, all the different Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Maisa, all the different mitzvahs that are fulfilled by Amira. Do they have to be in the original Hebrew, the way it says in the Chumash, or can it be in translation as well? Sfir Saima doesn't say in the Mishnah, and the Magen Avraham says Sfir Saima can be fulfilled. B'chol Loshen, Sahakam doesn't say. So Rav Soloveitchik said because there is no text in the Chumash. There's no. The whole question is when you have to recite the Kriyashma Kichsova as a text. So if you recite it in translation, is that considered Kichsova or not? So that's a machlokes satanai. But the Kriyashma is in an Emeris El Beloshna Kodesh. Or b'chol loshen, we pass kam b'chol loshen, but it has to be a literal translation. he just say, I'm going to say, there's a mitzvah to wet film shal yad and film shal rosh, mitzvah to have mezuzahs, a mitzvah to learn Torah, a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll say the gist, I'll say all the dinim that appear in the first perek in Kriyashma, I won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Even though you can fulfill a mitzvah in translation, but it has to be a literal translation of what it says. Literal doesn't have to mean literal word. It's a question word by word. Sometimes in some language, in English, you say the good boy. So you say the good is an adjective of the word boy, which is a noun. So you say the good boy. In Hebrew, you say hayeled hatov. You say the adjective after the noun. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he thinks has to be mamish literally. Literal. Al horetz hatova, ashenos an loch. That's in Birchas HaMazon. That's a pasuk in Birchas HaMazon. Yeah, there must be such a pasuk in Kriyashma also. So Rabbi Kivega thinks that you need literally, literal translation, literally, you have to say the adjective after the noun. And others question that. That's a literal translation means every phrase should be translated. In another language, in English, where you say the adjective before the noun, so that's called the literal translation. That's a question of detail. So again, so let's say Shmona Esrei, there's a nusach that Anshayt Nesagdaila one mesakin. You can't say that you need to recite Shmona Esrei kichsova. It doesn't appear in Tanakh. The text doesn't appear. You have to say the Shmona Esrei in the nusach of Anshayt Nesagdaila. They composed the nusach in Loshna Kodesh. So that's a question. If you say in translation, are you Yotze? So by Birchas HaMazon, we say you are Yotze. Okay, different. So the Mishnah says there that the Nisiyas Kapayim Duchanin can only be fulfilled with Loshna Kodesh. So the Gemara has most of the dinim, the bulk of the dinim of Nisiyas Kapayim appear there in Perikei Lanamar, because the Mishnah mentions Nisiyas Kapayim has to be in the original Hebrew. So the Gemara learns that from this pasuk, V'yisarim Nisiyotav Olam V'ayibarcham V'ayered Mi'asos, he had completed the Hakrovas HaKarbonis. These were all Karbonis Tziba. Achat HaSadav HaShlamim were the Karbonis Tziba. So the Gemara says, you only have Duchening at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonis Tziba. That's what we just spoke about last week when I gave the Shir on Monday night about the Nusach HaTfilah on Yamim Tovim. So I spoke about that din that the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Yankee Femner. Rabbi Yankee Femner has a sefer called Morik Tzia on the Tur and the Beis Yosef and Chelek Arachayim. So in the Morik Tzia, he writes that Duchening B'zmanazeh can only be mid the Rabbanan, because Duchening Menater is only at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonis Tzibur. The Gemara learns that from this Pasuk Chav Beis, at the end of chapter Tes and Parsha Shmini. So the Mishnah Berurah says that with all due respect to Rabbi Yankvam, then it's against the Gemara and Chulin and against the Sifra and against the Sifra. It's not correct. The question is, but it's right. He quotes a Gemara. You only have Duchening at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonis. How can Duchening be Menater today? There are no Hakrobas Karbonis at all. So the answer is, that's what I said over the last week, the answer is from the Keren Oira. That, pardon me? The answer is that when we recite the Shmona Esrei, just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too there's a Tfilas HaYochid and a Tfilas HaTzibur. So the Tfilas HaYochid is when we all daven Tfilah Belachash, we daven Tfilah B'Tzibur, but it's Tfilas HaYochid that we offer the Tfilah B'Tzibur. When the Chazan repeats the Shmona Esrei, that's called Tfilas HaTzibur, the whole Tzibur has. This is the Shilta Gibborim, the very end of Rosh Hashanah, maybe the last of, next to the last page in the Rif. Shilta Gibborim is printed on the side of the Rif, so he has this comment. Now, just like there's a Korban Yochid and a Korban Tzibur, so too, there's a Tfilos HaYochid, that's Tfilah Belachash, and Chazaras HaShatz is a Tfilos HaTzibur. And he quotes that just like the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, HaMakriv, the Tmidim HaMsofim, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, even the people who live in America, Yotzei, the Jews who live all over the world, are Yotzei with the Hakrobas HaKarbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So too, the Gemara says, is there an idea? In the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, when the Chazan offers the Chazaras HaShatz, when the Chazan davens Chazaras HaShatz, be called Rome in the Shul, even the Amsha Basodas are Yotzei, the people who live on the farms, they can't even come to Shul. It's Chutz Latum. They're Yotzei with the Chazaras HaShatz. Probably means in the same city. someone davening Chazor Salshatz in Chicago probably doesn't help from here. It means the Shliach Tzibur in the community where I live. So the Shildik Imam has like that. So then the Karbonara adds on that when a person, well, this is the Rav enhanced the Karbonara. He said, when we daven, let's say on the weekday, so you say, Shema Kaleinu Kabel Barachamim Avaratzen Es Tfiloseinu. And then you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Then we say the next Baruch Hu, it's Eba Amchi Sol of Isfilos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the prayers of the Jewish people. So that's a repeat of what we just said in the last Baruch Hu. The last of the 13 brachas in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei is Kabel Barach Mevrotzen Es Tfilosem. Then you say Ritzei Bamchi Zol Bisfilosem. Isn't it the exact same thing that we just said? So the Kabbalah explains it's not the same thing. Ritzui is a technical term that Ruba de Ruba, this part the Bala Tanya has. The Ruba in Tanakh, the term Ritzui appears in connection with Akrobus Karbonis. It says Venirtzu Loilach Aperolov, or the Mishnais will say, if the korban was offered, if it's kosher, so the Mishnah will use a lashon hurtza. If the korban is pasul, so the Mishnah will use an expression loy hurtza. It's not accepted. Hutzei b'yamchi zolav isfilosam is not a repeat of kabil berachmim v'rotzen. Kabil berachmim v'rotzen is about kosher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers. Hutzei b'yamchi zolav isfilosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the prayers as if he had offered korbanos. So, and that's basically whenever we duchen, that's what we'd say. Sarah v'alech asir aseinu ka'ola uche korban. Our prayers, asir aseinu, the bakoshes and the requests that we made should be accepted, should be pleasant, arevim, dvarim arevim. Sarah v'alech asir aseinu, our prayer should be pleasant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted, ka'ola uche korban, as if we had offered korbanos. So when a yochid is davening and he says, he succeeds in converting the Tfilos HaYochid into a Korban Yochid. When the Chazan is reciting Chazaras HaShatz, that's a Tfilos HaTzibur, and he recites with say, so he succeeds in converting the Tfilos HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So when the Chazan finishes saying Ritzei, that's the Gemara of Akrobas Korbanos Tzibur. That's what the Kamenera said, that's why the Gemara has it in there in Perik Elan Amorim. In Masechah Sota, that Kol Koin Shaloh Karag L'Ma'avayd U'Shuvein Oilu L'Duchen. The Koin who wants the Duchen has to start walking towards the platform. The Duchen is a platform. Usually the Kohanim would stand on a platform. Some Sfaradish poskim hold that the platform is Ma'akev. If you're not standing on a platform, you're not allowed to Duchen. None of the Ashkenazi poskim hold like that. So I remember once I told over the mice, I remember once I davened in Yeshiva Kol Torah, one summer we rented an apartment near in Beit Vegan near Yeshiva Kol Torah. So I daven there a few days. So the duchen every day on the weekdays also in Eretz Yisrael. So the platform wasn't big enough for all the Kohanim. So first they allowed all the Sfardim to go up on the platform. And then there was a little more room. So some of the Ashkenazim also walked up, and most of the Ashkenazim were standing on the floor. Because by Ashkenazi poskim, none of the poskim hold that standing on the platform is ma'akev, the duchen. By Sfaradish, there are some Sfaradish poskim hold that it's ma'akev. So they first allowed all the Sfaradim to go up on the platform, and then the Ashkenazim went up. So the Gemara says, if a kohen didn't start walking towards the duchen, loy akaraglov ba'avoida, before the chazan finishes the bracha of Hamachzeh Shechinah Asa L'Tzion, or Shos Cholabatcha in the Beis HaMikdash, that bracha really Shos Cholabatcha B'Yiran Avoy. And by us, we really shouldn't be saying that. We should really say Hamachzeh Shechinah Asa L'Tzion. That's what I spoke about last week, that it's not right. The Gross said it's not right to change the Nusach HaBracha because you're Duchani. Anyway, so that's, we learn out from this pasuk that the you only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobus Karbonus Tzibur. So that's what misled Rabbi Yankif Emdet to believe that duchening today is only with the Rabbanon. And Karen Ura is a sefer on Kochim, and then he has on the Dorim Nozis site also, because a lot of Kochim there. So he explains, how do we have duchening today? Bisman said that the Ritzei succeeds in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So that's learned out from this pasuk. These are in the Shorot Halom. Va'yivarch va'yerd me'asos achatos v'ha olo. Yeah. So now the Torah tells this story that Nadav Avihu brought Eish Zorah Shel Lo Tziva Hashem, they brought a Ketores that they were not instructed to bring, and they died, they had a Misa B'day Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was upset. Sirach Hatas Darosh Darash Moshe, so Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Zvachim, that there were three Hatas brought on that day. So the Tzoy Rosh Chodesh is the one that was burnt. Why was it burnt? So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, I instructed them that they should eat Klos HaMincha and Aseret, that's the beginning of Revi, Pasuk Yud Beis in chapter Yud. They should eat the Mincha, Achalt Masa B'Makom Kodesh, V'Chazei HaKnufa, also they should eat. They were instructed they should eat it even though they were in a state of Anita. So Aaron made a distinction. He said, you were only instructed on Kodshei Shor, and the Soi Rosh Chedesh is a Korban L'Doris. And we have a cloud, Doris Mishor Lo Yalfinon. So regarding the Korban L'Doris, the Soi Rosh Chedesh that you bring every Rosh Chedesh when Bisman that you have a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash, so there is a din, we say in Vidui Meiser, an Erev Pesach of the fourth year, an Erev Pesach of the seventh year, the Shnas HaShemitah, is when you recite the farmer, supposed to recite Vidui Meiser. The Yaiti HaKodesh Men Abayis, he ate up the Maisa Sheni, and so on. I did not consume the Maisa Sheni in a state of Tumah. Lo Biyati Memena B'Tomei means neither when I was Tomei, Tumas HaGuf, or Tumas HaMaisa Sheni. You're not allowed to consume Maisa Sheni in a state of Tumah. So Aaron HaKoin, then it says, Lo Echalti B'Yoni Memena. I didn't eat the Maisa Sheni in a state of Aninus. So Aaron HaKohen made a kavachimer that if you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, Maisa HaKal, Maisa Sheni is, you have to eat it, then Yerushalayim. You don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Bikurim, you bring to the Beis HaMikdash, then you can eat it in Yerushalayim. Maisa Sheni doesn't have to be even brought to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim, because Yerushalayim is the makam of the Beis HaMikdash, has a lower level of Tushas HaMikdash. Eat Kochim Kalim, eat Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. So Madach Maisa Sheni, you're not allowed to eat that in the state of Aninus, because Korbanos have to be eaten in the state of Simcha. Maisa Sheni has a lower level of a Korban, because you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So Korbanos, like the Chatos was Chodesh for sure, and Einan is not allowed to eat. And the Hayru Ashur that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell them over that they should eat Chus HaMincha HaNeseres, and they should eat the shlomim, that was called shishor. And Doris Mishor lo yafinu. All the midrash are turned at reshes, but work on the assumption that all the dinim fit into one big pattern, one big mosaic. That's only the dinim that annoyed Lidurus fit into a big pattern. Something that's only Hoyra Shor doesn't fit into that pattern. So you can, Doris Mishor lo yafinu. So that was only Hayro Asha by Kachi Dor. So Moshe Rabbeinu was maskim with Aaron. So the Vilna Goen quotes a passage from the Zohar on this, commenting on this disagreement that Moshe and Aaron had, that Moshe was maskim with Aaron. That Moshe Rabbeinu, an interesting comment, Moshe Rabbeinu represents Torah Shebichzav, and Aaron HaKohen represents Torah Shebal Peh. Because Aaron HaKohen made a Kalbachim over here. Kalbachim is one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shatoran Edreshes for him. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't occur to him. He just said over the dinim. He said over the Torah Shebichzav. After Aaron argued out the case with the Kal V'chaimer, then he was maskim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that there's a difference between a kain hedyot and a kain gadol. A kain hedyot is not allowed to be makor korbanos in the state of aninus. Not only is not allowed to eat, not allowed to eat, but he's not allowed to be makar karbanis in the state of aninus. And if an oinen is makar with the karbanis, it'll be possible. But a kain gadol is makar v'ainen oichal oinen. Yeah, a kain gadol is makar v'ainen is allowed. So that's what Aaron says. Hen hayom hikrivo ani hikrafti. I was makar the karban. So there's no psula of aninus because a kohen gadol doesn't observe avelus. Why? Usually there is a din that a kohen is not allowed to be mitam al ha'meisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. That's the beginning of Parsha Samor. Kim l'sher ha'kar avelov, lo yitama. Pasuk says lo yitama. So the Gemara in Sota Dav Gimla Madalav has a machlokes Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, and three psukim in Chumash whether the reshus achayva. So one of them is it's in Sota Dav Gimla Madalav because the first pasuk is va'avar lo avirachkina v'kina esishtoi. So Rabbi Yishmael says it's a reshus. If he wants to, he should warn his wife altistri emishplani, but it's not mechuyev to. No mitzvah to do it. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. No, kinis ishta is a mitzvah. If he thinks that there's something fishy, thinks his wife may be having an affair with someone else, so he has to be in masra, but it's a mitzvah. Kinis ishta, kina means hasra, to warn his wife. Altistri and mishplani. The second pasuk is lo yitama. It says, achas apsila shalahoisalish lo yitama. So Rabbi Yishmael says he's permitted to attend a funeral. The kohen is permitted to attend a funeral. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, lo yitam is a chayva. The kohen is obligated to be mitam l'meis. That's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether lo yitam, the Rambam holds only zichri kuhuna or muzer ala tume. So if it's one of the seven relatives, then he's mechuyev to be mechalol, the kedushas kuhuna, to show kavod l'meis. But if it's a kohenes, or if it's a lady or Yisrael, well, he doesn't have an isa tume, there is no isa tume. So participating in a funeral will not demonstrate any kavod ha'meis. It doesn't show that it's mechalal kedushas kuna. So the Rambam holds that the mitzvah lo yitam only applies if it's zichri kuna. The Ravid disagrees. The Pashto says many Mishanim disagree. There's a tshuva in the Shagas Aryeh like that. Simple reading of the Gemara is like the Ravid, not like the Rambam. That the mitzvah lo yitam applies even to non-kohanim as well. And the third pasuk where there's a machalek sabikir Rabbi Shmuel, whether it's a rishus or a chayva, is the pasuk by Yevet Kanaini that it says, how does it say?
Olam mahem tavoidu?
Olam mahem tavoidu. Right, it's an essay. Olam mahem tavoidu. So Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a rishus. You don't have to free the Evet Kanaini in Sheish or Yovel. You have to feed the Yavik Knaini based on Shem Yayin, but not in Sheish V'Yovel. If you want to, the other man Tavoidu, if you want to free him, Rabbi Kivi says, no, the other man Tavoidu is a Chayva, means it's an Iser Esse. A Meshachar Abdoi, Oiva Besse, if you free your Yavik Knaini, you're over on that Esse. So the din is at a Kohen Hegyot observes Avelus according to the Shitas Hagoinim and the Mechaber Paskins like that, the Ramam and the Rif and the Chachmi Svarat, that Avelus Yamrishan is the Raisa. What's the market that Avelus Yamrishan is the Raisa? The Pasuk Lo Yitama, the Chiyuv, the Ramam writes, Kama Chamurehi Mitzvah Avelus Shenitchis Bimena Isa Tumas Kohanim. The Mitzvah Lo Yitama is part of the Mitzvah of Avelus, to be Metapel in the Kfuras Ameis. So the Pasuk says that a Kohen Gadol is not Metame, even to the Zayin Kohen. So the Pashtus in the Pasuk implies, that's the simple reading of the Gemara, in the beginning of Perek Elam Megalchem, the third Perek and Moed Kota has all the dinam of Avelus in it. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that a Kohen Gadol does not have the mitzvah of Avelus. Kohen Gadol kala shana kula ki Yisrael baregel dami. Just like Yisrael baregel on Yontif, one does not observe Avelus, because also yesed the Rabbi, medochi yesed the Yochid, Simchas Yontif and Avelus are tarted as Asri. You can't be in a state of Simcha and Avelus, Atzvos, at the same time. So which mitzvah takes precedence? In Esed Decha Esay. So Gemara says, Asi Esed the Rabbi, Dochi Esed the Yochid. Esed B'samachta B'chagecha. That's all of Kval Yisrael observe that. And the Esay of Lo Yitam, the Esay of Avelus, is only Esed the Yochid. That particular person has to observe Avelus. So the Esed the Rabbim takes precedence. So just like the Jews on Regel don't observe Avelus, so to the Kohen Gadol all year long doesn't observe Avelus. Apparently the Kohen Gadol is always Lifnei Hashem. The Mechaiv of Simchas Yontif, the Mechaiv of Simcha is the fact that you're Lifnei Hashem. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. So the Kohen Gadol all year long has a chiyuv to be Lifnei Hashem. So that's why the simple reading of the Gemara said the Kohen Gadol never observes Avelus. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam says not so. So the Achronim have difficulty with that Rambam. So problematic. The simple reading of the Gemara is against the Rambam, that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus. So that's the din Kohen Gadol is makrivonin. Kohen Gadol is makrivonin because he doesn't have this din of Aninus and Avelus. He's not allowed to eat the Korbanos. That's Chalti Chapta Sayyim. That is not allowed to do. The Ramban Achumish quotes verbatim a section from the Pirush HaRavid on the Torah's Kohanim. Every so often, the Ramban will quote. We mentioned, I think on Parshas Tzav or Parshas Vayikra, I forgot already. Maybe on Parshas Tzav that the Chumash says when you bring a shlamim, it's nechel shnayamim v'layla echod. So it says if you bring a shlamim on Erev Shabbos, let's say, today's Erev Shabbos, so you can eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow until Shkia. Shneyamim v'layla echa till Shkia. So the Pasuk says, v'hanoysem imenu, what's left over tomorrow, you can still eat. V'hanoysem imenu, v'yam ha-shlishi v'esh t'israfu. What's left over on Sunday morning, that you have to burn. So why is it called v'hanoysem imenu t'ochelu? What's left over? So the Ravid writes on Teres Kohanim, and the Ramban Achumish quotes it verbatim. How come he doesn't identify? I don't know. That's a pella. Every so often, Rabban Mechamas also will do it like that. He'll quote verbatim from the Ravid. Sometimes a few lines. The Ravid has comments on the Rif also. The Ravid has Tmim Demi has Trubas also. So the Kuntras on Harshoa. The Ramban Mechamas quotes a few lines from the Kuntras. He doesn't identify where he's quoting from. Apparently everybody knew what he was quoting. I don't know. Like the Ran on the Rif, a lot of times quotes Rashi verbatim. He doesn't have to say he's quoting Rashi. Everybody knows he's quoting Rashi. When he gives the Pirush HaMilu, so everybody knows he's quoting Rashi. So here also, there the Ramban on Parshas Tzav, I think, that the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to eat the whole shlomim on the first day, Yom V'layla. And if you left it over for tomorrow, you brought a shlomim today, what's left over tomorrow is called noisa, but you're allowed to eat it. But that's a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa. So that the Ramban Achumish quotes that verbatim from the Ravitz. Here in today's Seder also, the Ramban quotes verbatim from the Ravitz, Pirush and the Torah's Kohanim, on this topic. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Mishol Beltzofen B'nei Azil Dodaharam? Why did he ask the cousins, Su'a Sechechem, that they should take the dead bodies of Nodav Aviu out of the Beis HaMikdosh? Why didn't he ask Elazar Isamar, because the dinners of the Kohen Hedyot has a mitzvah lo itam, has a mitzvah to be mitam into the Kohen. So why was he mevatel mitzvah? He should have had them, they were Kohen Hedyot, so he should have had them be mitam. So the Ravid gives two suggestions, and the Ramban quotes both. So he says one suggestion is that maybe it was a hayra shalol arbev simchas shal mokim. It was such a celebration, the Chanukah Sam Mishkan. They just completed the building on the Beis HaMishkan of the Mishkan. That the Midrashim say that was all tachlis of the Briya Shemaim Ba'aretz. It says in Bereshis Vayer Vayverke Yoyim Echod, and here it says by the bringing of the Karbanis of Chanukah Sanisim. Also such a similar lotion. So the Midrashim say that was the whole tachlis of the Bria, that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. So Kedei Shelo La'arbeiv Simchas U'Shal Mokem, the Rebbe Shlom made a Hara Shoah that they shouldn't be Metame, they should get someone else, Mishol Vel Sofa. Then the Raida gives another answer, and the Ramban enhances it a little bit. I think the Ramban added on that maybe even though they were not Kohanim Gedolim, but they had Meshicha B'Shem and Amishcha. Normally, a Kohen is born when he's born. He's a Kohen because his father was a Kohen. But here, the father became a Kohen after they were born. The Kohen institution of Kohuna started after the four children of Aaron were born already. So they needed Mashiach to make, just like the father needed Mashiach, just like Aaron needed Mashiach to make him into a Kohen. So too, the Bnei Aharon, all four of them needed Mashiach to make them into Kohanim. Afterwards, if they would marry later and have children later, so their children will automatically be Kohanim, the children won't need Mashiach. But because they had Mashiach, so they had the Kedushas Kohen Gadol. So that's what they quote B'Shem Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, the Bira in this Ramban. Rab Soloveitchik said it also. It's printed. They printed the name of Rab Soloveitchik, the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. That it, they're really not three kinds of Kohanim. They're two. There's a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. There's also a Mashuach Melchama, a Kohen Mashuach Melchama. And the Gemara next to the last Perek in Yume says that Mashuach Melchama has some of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, some of the dinim like a Kohen Hedyot. So don't you see that there are three kinds of Kohanim? So that's why Rab Chaim explained based on this Ramban and Chumash. Ramban, I think, added this line to the Ravid. Just like Mashuach Melchama, some of the dinim he has like a Kohen Gadol, some of the dinim like a Kohen Hedyot. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol has Kedushas Kohen Gadol. How does he acquire Kedushas Kohen Gadol? Either through Mashicha or through Ribui B'Gadim. Towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshio HaMelech, Pasuk in Dibra Yom says, Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Shemen HaMishcha. He's going as the Orem with the Luchas. He's going as the Shemen HaMishcha. So from that time on, when they appointed a new Kohen Gadol, they didn't have Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. So that's going to be a Kohen Gadol, Meruba B'Gadim. The whole Bais Sheni period, the Kohanim Gedolim were not Meshucha Meshemen HaMishcha, Lossid Lavoi, will have Meshicha again. But the whole Bais Sheni period, there was no Meshicha Meshemen HaMishcha. So the Kohanim were all only Meruba B'Gadim. And the Mishnah Megillah says, Amen, Kohen Meshuch Meshemen HaMishcha, Kohen Meruba B'Gadim, Elapar Habo Al Kol HaMitzvah, the slightly lower level of Kedushas Kohen Gadol, if you didn't have Meshicha Meshemen HaMishcha. So the Meshicha gives the Kohen Meshicha, the Ribib B'Gadim gives the Kohen Gadol, Kedusha is kind of got a higher level of Kedusha than a regular kind of Hedya. But then the Bezdin has to appoint him. The Mishnah, the Mishnayas talk about a person was appointed as a kind of Gadol and then he was fired. So Tosis wants to know who fires him. So apparently the one who had the right to appoint him in the first place has the right to fire him. He's mismana bepeh, Taisus and Yuma quotes that from the Yerushalmi. The Kohen Gadol is mismana bepeh, umistalek bepeh. He's appointed orally, and then he can be removed from his position. So the Mishnais have a whole discussion. If a Kohen Gadol was machal Shabbos b'shegeg, while he was a Kohen Gadol, and he didn't have yediyah sachet, he didn't find out about the avera until after they removed him from his position. So does it bring a korban like a hedyot? Does it bring a korban like a Kohen Gadol? Does it depend on the Shas Avera? And the same thing on Melech. A Melech brings the Soyer Nasi. And there's a part Kohen Gadol. So the same thing the Melech. The Melech is Mispana B'Peh, Mistalek B'Peh. So the Melech is appointed by the Bezna Gadol. Yeah, what about the Kohen Gadol? So that's the question. Tosfos says in Yume, the Echav HaKohanim appoint him, or the Bezna Gadol appoints him. It's a question who? But whoever appoints him has the right to fire him as well. So the one who's a Kohen Gadol has Kedushas Kohen Gadol that he acquires through the Mashicha, and then he has a Shem Kohen Gadol because he was Mismana B'Peh. He was appointed by Echav HaKohanim or by the Bezna Gadol. So some of the dinim of Kohen Gadol depend on Kedushas Kohen Gadol, some of the dinim depend on the Shem Kohen Gadol. So that's what the Ramban says, like a Mashuach Melchama. Mashuach Melchama was never given the title of Kohen Gadol, but he has Mashicha, the Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh. The Pashto says in the Bais Sheni period, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. The whole Bais Sheni, Yoshua HaMelech was Gaines, the Shemen HaMishcha towards the end of the Bais Rishon period. And there was no Mashuach Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha, the whole Tkufa is Bais Sheni. So that's a problem because in Sefer HaShmonaim, not in the Sefer HaShmonaim, the Minchas Chinuch quotes. Then in Josephus, it says the Kohen Gadol was the Mashuach, that Yehuda HaMakabi was the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch is. How is that possible? How can you have a Mashuach Melchama? There was no Shemen HaMishcha. That's a question. There was no Shemen HaMishcha. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik printed a whole shiur that he said on this that's available. So that's what the Ramban is quoting over here, the Ravid. Maybe Nadav Avihu, maybe Elozev Yisomer, even though only Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, Elozev Yisomer were Kohenim Hedyotim, but maybe they had a din like HaMashuach Melchama, because they needed Mashicha. And the pasuk says, "Kishemi mishchas kodesh Hashem aleichem." They're not allowed to be metame lemeisim. Here in pasuk Zion, in chapter Yud, pasuk Zion, "Kishemi mishchas Hashem aleichem," because they had mishicha b'shem and amishcha, so they had the din like Moshoch Mochama, and Moshoch Mochama has this din like a kain gadol. Moshoch Mochama, when he does avoid in Beis Hamikdash, he does avoid a barbod god. He doesn't avoid the Bishmaina begotim, but he has the din of not observing Avelos. That din he does have. He's not allowed to be metame even to the Zayin Kreif. He has the din like a kain gadol. He's not allowed to be metame even to the Zayin Kreif. So those are the two suggestions of the Rabbit, both quoted by the Ramban al HaTorah verbatim from the Rabbit. I think that line, it could be he added on, that maybe they had the din like a Meshoch Mechama. That's where Rab Chaim explained what that means. It means they had a Kedushas Kain Gadol without a Shem Kain Gadol. So in the Melee, they had the din like a Meshoch Mechama. It's interesting. What does it mean? It was the Hayra Shoah. Shalom la'arbev simchasa shalmakan, because it was such a celebration. The Gemara of the whole taklus of Bria Shamayim Be'oritz was in order to make a Mishkan. That's the Poshib Shad. But then the Ramban adds on, I don't know if this is in the Ravid. I think this is in the Torah's Kohanim, not the Ravid. The Ramban quotes it from the Torah's Kohanim. That from this Pasuk we see that Haruge Bezdin Eim Sablim Aleihem. That's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It says, when Bezin puts people to death, skilo sreifa hareg v'chanek, so the Kroivim do not observe Avelus. And the Gemara explains why? Because the Pasuk says, Bavod Rishayim Rina, when the Rishayim die, you have to celebrate. So it says that the Kroivim should visit the members of the Bezin and be shol b'shleimam. They shouldn't have any hard feelings against the Bezin who made a Gemar Din against their relative, that they put him to death, and they shouldn't have any angry feelings against the Edim. So the Mishnah says they should be Shal B'Shlam HaBezin, Shal B'Shlam HaEdim, and they observe the Kroivim Misaninim Avalo Misablim. Why a Misanin? Because they're Aninas Elabalev. Aninas they do have, but they're not allowed to observe Avelis because Babad Rishon Rina. So the Ramban explains, where do you see that from the Parsha Mikan? He says, the Tanoim and the Torah's Kanim understood that the Hayroa Shoah here was that Misa B'dei Shamayim, Allah's Nodav Abihu, were punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. So maybe the Hayroa Shoah was that you treat Misa B'dei Shamayim just in the same way you would treat Misa's Bezin. So you say, Bavod Rishon Rina, so that's why they weren't allowed to observe Avelus. It said, God sent a different shot. That's L'chore de Hayra Shoah. It's not really Kedesh Shalol Arbeb Simchos Hashem. It sounds like a third explanation. Sounds like a third explanation why they shouldn't observe Avelus. Because on Haruge Bezdin, they don't observe. It doesn't sound like either of the two suggestions that the Ravid made. And the Rambam doesn't quote these three together. He quotes two suggestions of the Ravid in one paragraph. And then at this later, he quotes this, that Mikan Yesh Lomod, that Ein Misablim on Haruge Bezin. Interesting. The Pasuk says that he instructed the Shoel Belt Safan and Pasuk Hey and Perikud Vayikruvu Mishoel Belt Safan Vayisom Chutanusam Al Mechutz Lamachna Kasha Diber Moshe. Why doesn't it say Kasha Tziva Moshe? So we once pointed out Parshas, where is it? Parshas Bo, I think. It says Bnei Yisrael also Kashetziv Hashem is Moshe in connection with the Korban Pesach. Then he said, "Bnei Yisrael also Kidvar Moshe in connection with knocking on the next door neighbor's doors to ask for bizus mitzrayim, to ask for matonis before they leave." So the Kedusha Slavi from Levi Yitzchak Baditchava points out, why is there a Shini Loshen? Says Korban Pesach is a mitzvah ledoris. So that has a technical term, of the mitzvah, a mitzvah, Ein Lashon Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzav, Ein Lashon Tzav, Ein Lashon Ziris Miyada L'Doris. Mitzvah is a technical term that only applies when it's a mitzvah Hanahegis L'Doris. There were Hayruah Shoah aspects in the Pesach Mitzrayim that they didn't shecht it in the Beis HaMikdosh and there was no Mizbeach, and it's because Adam Oshte Amzuzas V'Ala Mashkei, but in principle they were fulfilling they were fulfilling the mitzvah with slight higher Russia variation. Mashani came knocking on the next the neighbor's door to ask for matonis. That's purely higher Russia. So there it doesn't say B'nai Yisrael also, Kasher Tziva, it says B'nai Yisrael also, Kidvar Moshe. So I thought here also, the Pasuk says that they did, Kasher Dibar Moshe, they observed this higher Russia. They observed the higher Russia. So it sounds like it was a higher Russia. The way the Ramban gave the wump shot, that they had the din since they had Meshicha, and he showed from the Pasuk, Kishem and Mishchas Hashem Aleichem, Vayasu Kidvar Moshe, yeah. There is also Vayasu Kidvar Moshe. It was a Hayru Ashoa. But Kishem and Mishchas Hashem Aleichem, the Ramban explained that that sounds like this is a regular din L'Doris, that even Mashiach Muhammad has Kedushas Kohen Gadol, even though he doesn't have a Shem Kohen Gadol. So he's also not allowed to be misabdal. So shtikal astira. It says it calls it kidvar moshe. In the same pasuk it says the explanation that makes it into a real din l'doris. I don't know. It is an issue. Then the din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu that and to Aaron. Yaim shechar al teish tatov and achi yitoch, that Kohanim are not allowed to drink yaim shechar when they come into oil moed in order to be makar of karbonis. The Ramban has his machlokes with the Rabbeinu Moshe with the Rambam. Ramban quotes it here. The Rambam holds that shosui a kohen who is a shikir, it not only is it an isa deraisa to be makir korbanis in a state of shikris, but it's an isa deraisa to go ben hulam alam mizbeach. The Ramban holds that that's only milus de rabbanon. That's the last line in the Ramban on pasuk. I think Yudalit. No, there's a long Ramban pasuk tes. Long Ramban on pasuk tes. So he says it's all milus de rabbanon, not to go ben hulam alam mizbeach a balmum and a shasayin. The Rambam Shita Yes Beknisa B'le'avod Alav Shein Bo Misa. There's no Misa B'dei Shemayim. Misa B'dei Shemayim is only if he does Avoida in a state of Shikris. But the Knisa to walk in Beinu L'Olam Mizbech, it's an Isa Derais. Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah also disagrees, same as he disagrees here. And he has Tainus against the Rambam. When we learn Sanhedrin, Av Soloveitchik spoke about it. Because these Dinim are spoken of and this dealt with in the and the second parak in Sanhedrin, dinim of the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, we have two dinim. Balmum is pasul avoda, and a shikr is pasul avoda. With respect to duchening, we split between the two. We say that a shikr is not allowed to duchen, but a balmum is permitted to duchen. Unless he has mum, that'll draw attention, and that so that's a din with the Rabbanon. That a kohen sheish lemum and part of yad of beraglov, because it's not proper to look at the hands of the kohen when he's duchening, and the beis hamikdash because the shechina v'shara on the hands. So even chutz le beis hamikdash, you're not allowed to look at the hands. So if the kohen has a mum and part of yad of beraglov, it'll draw attention. So we don't allow him to duchen. This man hazeh, Rabbi Yosef Kara had a suffik, and then after he raises the suffik in the Kesef Mishnah. And then by the time he wrote to Shulchan Aruch later, he was machriya the suffik, that since Bizman Hazeh, during his lifetime, they started this new minig of the Kohanim covering over the hands when they duchen, so he can't see the hands anyway. So even if he has mum, we allow him to duchen. So that's a problem. We spoke about that in the past. Usually they have a din that called Dabashav Minyan, Tzach Minyan Achalat Tirai. Whenever there's a Gzeirah Derabban that was made for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, the Gzeirah Derabban still applies unless you have a Bezdin Tzoch minyan achalatir. You have to have a bezin to be matter that din. So how did Rabbi Yosef Karo just do away? He took the din in the Mishnah and Megillah and he threw it out. He says, since the reason doesn't apply, the din doesn't apply. That's in, that luchar is in violation of the principle of davish of minyan. Tzoch minyan achalatir. So in the past, we said over the Mishkan HaSyankev has a tshuva. The tshuva is that he wrote that we're not included in the Mishkan HaSyankev. He printed in his smaller sefer, Kohelas Yankev. So he has a tshuva where he explains the Rosh. The Rosh is not that clear. The tshuvas are Rosh. When the Rosh came to Germany, the Rosh ran away from Germany. After the Mamrutmerg died in prison, so the Rosh ran away from Germany, ran to Spain. So when he came to Spain, so he saw that the Balabatim were wearing Arba Kamfis, they were wearing tzitzis and a beged shel pishton, on linen clothing. And we pass like Bishama that there's Zer Rabban, that you're not allowed to, because they may put in trelis, and trelis has to be tzemer, and tzemer, and if the beged is linen, it'll be shatnes, and the heter to wear shatnes. The heter to wear shatnes. Is only if. It's authentic trelas. So Bishama, we're concerned. Bishama, we pass on. This is one of the six cases, but we pass on like Bishama. Bishama, he made exerid rabbana. You may fall in, you may buy your trelas from a faker who sold you imitation trelas. It's really close, Elon. And then, but if they dyed a string of wool and they put the wool in a beged shel pishton, it'll be shatnes, and it wasn't necessary to have wool because it's not really trelas, because the blue dye didn't come from the chilosin. It came from a vegetable. Kloilon is indigo from a vegetable. So Beishama made exer de rabban, and we paskin like that. Beishama exer de rabban. So in Germany, he never saw such a practice. No one ever put tzitzis in a linen garment. Only woolen garments they wore, and linen they didn't to put in chelis because of exer Beishama. And in Spain, they did wear. So they explained why, because the whole exer only applies bisman that you have chelis. So then someone may sell you Basla trelis, imitation trelis, kla ilon, and you will be in violation of shatness unnecessarily, because you didn't fulfill a mitzvah trelis, so you could have just as well, you didn't require that string should have been wool in the first place. It could have been a linen string. But bismanazen, nobody has any trelis. That's what the days of the Rosh, nobody had any trelis. So the whole reason for the gzera doesn't apply, so the gzera doesn't apply. So that was the question the Taz asks. Why isn't it the Dovish of the Minyan Tzach Minachalat Tirai? So the Taz says that's why the Rosh elaborated and explained why it's not. So that's what the Mishkan HaSyankev says. What did he elaborate? He doesn't explain anything. So he thinks that that's, the Mishkan HaSyankev thinks that that's what the Rosh meant to say. Whenever the nature of the mitzvah is Bakira's Dov Min HaTaira, then this din of Dovish of the Minyan doesn't apply. So that's the same over here by... that Mishi Esh Lamun, Bivana Vyara Ragla, but it's only Exerim and the Rabban that we don't allow him to duchen, because the Tzibur may be interested in seeing the mum that he has. They're not used to it. They'll see the mum and they'll stare at his hands. So that's not proper. But Bizmana Zed, that they cover over the hands. So the whole reason for the Exerim doesn't apply. So the Exerim doesn't apply. Anyway, so the Gemara learns that, the Gemara in Tainus learns that from Psukim, that we distinguish between the Psul Bamum and the Psul Shikr with respect to Duchnin, that a Shikr is not allowed to Duchen, but a Bamum may Duchen. Bamum may Duchen, leaving out this Gzera de Rabbanon that sometimes applies, sometimes does not apply. Mum, Panav Yadav Viraglov. So that's a big machlokes, whether that split, that distinction, is at the Raisa de Rabbanon, that we say that even though Bamum is permitted to Duchen, we wouldn't allow a Shikr to Duchen. So that's a big machlokes in Rishon, whether that's the Raisa or the Rabbanon. The Gemara learns that from, the Gemara Tanis learns that from Psukim, then in Parshas Naso, the Parsha of Duchening, is right next to the parsha of Nazir. So just like a Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, so to the kohen who wants the duchen is not allowed to drink wine. Was that an asmachta or was that a real drasha gemur? So that's a machlokes harishonim. Yeah, the parsha says that the parsha says in Perek Yud in today's sedra, Yaim Shecher al Teisht, or Lahav the Ben Hakodesh Ben Achol Ben Atomim Ben Atohar. That if you makar v'korban a shikar is makar v'korban, it'll be chol. It's mechal lavod. Ulahoris is Bnei Yisrael. Ulahoris Bnei Yisrael tells me that a shikar is also to paskin. A shikar is also to paskin a shaila. It says in Yeruday, unless it's a dovish ad stukim modimbo, then it's not called hayroa. If it's mamish to say over what it says in Torah Shebichzav, so that's not called the hayroa. Hayroa is only in the area of Torah Shebalpeh. If the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in psak on Poshet Chumash, that's not called the Shigigas Hayroa. You don't bring a parhel on Dovish al Tziba. The Loshan Gemara is if Bez Nagodol made a mistake, Tol, but Dovish al Tzduke Modimbo, something that's Mamish Apasik, that's not called the Hayroa. So the only time there's a din of parhel on Dovish al Tziba, if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake in Hayroa. So here it says also, Lohoris is Bnei Yisrael. If it's on Dovah HaMefurish B'Psukim, so it's Torah Shebichsav, that's not called Hayroa, so there's no Issa for Shikah to Paskin. Then the Torah gives all of the dinim of kashrus, which animals you may eat and which animals you're not allowed to eat. So by the fish, it depends on snapi v'kaskeses. And the Mishnah says that any animal that has, any fish that has kaskeses, is automatically, we know for sure it's going to have snapi. You just have to look for kaskeses. But if it has snapi, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to have a kaskeses. In fish, the Darkei Tshuva on Yeridei, on the simen of fish, maybe simen Pei Gimel or something near that, quotes a tshuva by the Tur's brother. I think it's Rabbeinu Yehuda ben Harosh, a son of the Rosh, that you don't need a masora to say which fish is mutter, because there are tens of thousands of fish all over the world, and it's not shach to say you need a masora. In different parts of the world, there are different kinds of fish. You just have to make sure that it has snapi v'kaskeses. It doesn't have to have any, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't necessarily have to have any specific shape to the kaskeses. It could be triangular, it could be rectangular, it could be square. It doesn't have to have a specific thickness or anything. If it has kaskeses, it's good. There's a fish that's called the kinklet that they have in South Africa, that part of the world, that has kaskosas, but the kaskosas are so, the kaskas has a lot of kaskosas, but they're so soft, it's mamsh like another layer of skin. So that's a question. Kaskosas is, l'choire, is supposed to be like plastic consistency. It's, the Gemara says in Masechus Avodah, it's supposed to give protection to the fish. The fish are swimming in salty water, and you need the kaskosas to protect it. So that's a question. So years ago, almost 100 years ago, Rabbi Chaim Moshe had a brother-in-law who lived in Johannesburg, and he paskened that the king clip was kosher. So they still, the Besden there in Johannesburg still allows the people to eat the king clip fish. And every couple of years, every 15, 20 years, there's someone making a tumul, and maybe it's not kosher. Yeah. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah livdok b'simoni dogim. What do you mean a mitzvah livdok? So that's what some tainted incorrectly, that you're not allowed to eat canned tuna fish because nobody, you have to have a Jewish person. Mitzvah livdok b'simon. If you don't have Jewish people, they have a mashgiach comes every so often, but he doesn't check every single fish. How are you going to say the dinner mitzvah livdok b'simonim? So the Darkei Tshuva writes that that's not correct. Darkei Tshuva writes, let's say when you shecht a cow or you shecht chickens, so does the shechet check to see that the feet of the cow are mafis parsa? It looks like a cow. He knows that it's a cow, and shein. let's say the Mishnah has all the different simanim, how to identify whether any given bird is a kosher bird or not. You have to check. I know that this is a chicken. I know a chicken is a kosher bird. If you don't know what the nature of the bird is, if you don't know what the nature of the fish is, then you have to check for the siman. But if you know that this is a tuna fish, you know that all the tuna fish have a snap of the kaskesa, so then the Darkei Tshuva says that there's no din and you have to be boiling the siman. It doesn't apply in such cases. And he proves it. Because the din is that even if let's say the nature of the fish is such that it already shed all of its kaskesis. By the time you take it out of the water, all its kaskesis fell off already. Or you took it out of the water when it was young. If you would have let it swim in the water another half a year, it would have developed kaskesis. So then is that it's still kosher. Even if but you pulled it out from the water too young. So you can't check for the kaskesis. But I know what it is. I know it's a tuna fish. I know it's a tuna fish. So it's kosher. So that's not the... that's not a taina. So by fish, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Arash has a tshuva, you don't need a masar. By behemoth, if a behemoth is malager mafis parsa, then it's kosher. The Chochma Sodom writes that in Vilna, there's a minig that you don't eat any animal based on your own identification of the simonim. Alagir mafis parsa, he may make a mistake. He says it based on the shach. So those are tainah, that's not what it says in the shach. The shach says, we don't eat chela of a chaya. The din is that there's a behem and there's a chaya. So chela of a chaya is muta, chela of a behem is an isakaris. How do you know what's a definition, what's a chai, what's a behem? So the Gemara says it depends on the shape of the antlers, the shape of the horns. So that's a very dachistic thing. So the Shach says, the meaning in Vilna is that you don't allow chelev of a chaya based on your determination that the antlers indicate that it's a chaya as opposed to a behema, because he may make a mistake. But the Shach never said that you don't need any new animal. But that's what the Chachma Sodom writes. And in Vilna, in Lithuania, the Chayodim and the Chochmas Odom used to be accepted like the Bible. They followed everything that it said in the Chayodim. So that was the big issue. If you look in the old biographies of the Chazon Ish, the Pe'er Ador, the five-volume biography, says there's a whole chapter in the book, very fascinating chapter about eating the zebu. The zebu is an animal that doesn't have to drink so much water. It's like a camel. It stores up a lot of water. In the Middle East, that's important because it's always so warm all the time. So the a regular cow is going to have to keep on drinking water. And the milk tastes almost the same as a regular cow's milk. So years ago, in the early years after HaKamas HaMedina, they wanted to import the zebu animal. The Jews in India always ate the zebu animal because it's malager mafis parsa, it's a kosher animal. So the Chazon Ish had a correspondence with Rav Herzog at that time, who was then the chief rabbi, that many of the religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael are Litvaks, and the Litvaks follow everything that it says in the Chazon Ish, in the Chayodim, and the Chochmas Sodom writes that if you don't have a tradition that's a kosher animal, you can't eat it. So Rav Herzog wrote him back that they do have a tradition. The religious Jews in India ate it. So the Chazon Ish wrote back, but unfortunately they never had big rabbonim in India. They had religious Jews, but they didn't have big rabbonim. A tradition means a tradition based on big Talmid Chacham. So at that time, Rav Herzog agreed with him that they never had the big Talmid Chacham. It's not called a Masura. So they didn't allow Zebu. But by now they do allow it because you're not allowed to breed a cow with a zebu, the different minim, ahaboas behemas, and isa deraisa, but someone did it, and they came to the realization that if it's 5/8 one and 3/8 the other one, I already forgot which are 5/8 cow and 5/8 zebu, and 3/8 the other one, then it has the best of both worlds. Then the milk tastes just like milk from a cow, and it doesn't have to drink so much water. So from the fact that they can mate and produce vladas, this itself is an indication that the zebul must be a kosher animal, because the Gemara says in the first parak of Chayrus that a behemoth Torah cannot mate and give off flodus with a behemoth meyah. So from the fact that they were having flodus and they were reproducing, that itself is an indication that just like we have a masara on the cow, that the cow is a behemoth Torah, so the zebul is obviously also a behemoth Torah. So that was a big issue years ago, but now that whole issue died down. So now it's accepted. In principle, the Chazon Ish was right, that the Litvaks insist that you have to have a masara. But Lamaisa, the masara that they have on the cow, carries over to the zebu as well. In South America and Argentina, for many years, I don't know what they're up to now, for many years they imported meat that was slaughtered, that was geschachten from America to Eretz Yisrael, and they imported from Argentina. There was a period of time, a few years, that Rabbi Neuwirth from the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chassan went to Argentina to supervise the shechita of the meat that was imported to Eretz Yisrael. So they used to shecht zibu a lot. So that, and then it came, the end of the story was that they can mate and have lotus. So the tradition that we have on the cow carries over to the zibu. The Rambam understands in the Pasuk, Zos Achaya Shetachelu, the following, Zos Achaya Shetochlu, that's Pasuk Beis in chapter Yud Aleph, only these and only these can be eaten. So the Rambam says that there's an Iser Esay to eat Bisar Odom, human flesh. A mace is also Bahanoah. Yeah, that's a Mikar Adin. We hold that's only Mesa Yisrael, Mesa Yakama Mutter Bahano. But the Rambam holds that there's an Yisrael Achila Menator. Where Machmed the Rambam is Machmed, he quotes Rishonim. You shouldn't be Machmed, even Mesa Yakam. You shouldn't get any Hano. But Mikar Adin, it's really Mutter. The Rishonim came up with that Chumra. But the Rambam's opinion is that Bisar Odom has an Yisrael essay based on the Pasuk. Zos Achaya Shetochlu Mikol HaBehema, Zos to the exclusion of Bisar Odom. The Ramban argues that the Gemara talks about an adult, a nursing from a woman. So the Gemara says, after the baby is 2 years old, you're not allowed to let the baby nurse anymore. That's an Issa de Rabbanan. So the Ramban asks, but it should be an Issa de Raisa, because if human flesh is Asa Bachila, so the milk, Ayotzim and Atami is Tami, the milk that comes is also Asa Bachila. So how come, if the Rambam is right, that Bisar Odom has an Iser deraisa on it, so the Cholov Hayotze should be also to drink? So the Magen Mishneh comes to defend, quotes the Taina of the Ramban against the Rambam, and he comes to defend the Rambam, so he says, maybe the Rambam's opinion is that the only time there's a din Hayotze min atomi, the milk or the eggs that come from a non-kosher bird or from a non-kosher cow, non-kosher animal, the trefa, the emet meyo, is also minatara. Maybe that's only if the non-kosher animal has an isa lab, but if it only has an isa rasei, then there's no din of yetzim minatami tami. In fact, I don't think the Magen Mishneh points it out, but when you look in the Rambam in that parak, when he quotes the din of yetzim minatami, that's the way he sets up the din. He describes it. The milk that comes from an animal that has an isa lav, that you loike on it if you eat it. That's the way the Rambam defines it. Where did he get that idea from? Maybe because Behemah b'chaya b'cheskes Yisrael meres. All live animals have an Yisrael essay. Ein ezvucha. If you eat flesh of an animal without the benefit of first shechting it, that's the Yisrael nevela d'lavam. Nevela is if the animal died. But if you cut off a piece of meat while the animal is alive, so can you really call it nevela? It's not nevela, but it's an iser esse, vein ezvucha. So the Gemara raises a question in Bcharis Davav: how are you permitted to drink milk even from a behema tohira? But behema b'chaya b'cheskes iser emetis is an iser achila. So all the milk should be a yotzim in haser aser. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk. The fact that Eretz Yisrael is praised, Eretz Yisrael is chalav edvash. It must be that the chalav edvash is kosher. The Torah wouldn't praise Eretz Yisrael over the fact that it has non-kosher milk there. So it must be that it's all kosher. So maybe that's exactly what the Pasuk teaches me. According to the Rambam, not an exception to the rule that that milk is kosher, an exception to the rule of Yetzimah Tameh. Oh, it's not an exception. It sheds light on the whole rule. The whole rule of Yetzimah Tameh, Tameh, there's a Mishnah of the first Perek in Pcheres around Davhei Davok. The whole din only applies if it's Yetzim from an Isa Lav, but a Behemah B'chaya B'cheskes Iser is only an Isa Einan Zvucha. It's not an Isa Eiv Menachai, which is a Lav. It's only an Isa Rese. Maybe that's exactly what the Pesach teaches me. The Yetzim and Atomi doesn't apply if it's only an Isa Rese. Anyway, that's the Rambam's opinion. The Chumash says, in order for the animals to be kosher, it has to be Malagera U'mafris Parsa. So that's what they discuss. What about a giraffe? A giraffe is Malagir, Mafis Parsa, should be kosher. So they talk and point out that in the Rav Sadia Goen's translation of the Chumash into Arabic, it translates one of the animals that the Torah says you are permitted to eat is a giraffe. The giraffe's skin is such, it's very thick. You can shecht it anywhere, it has such a tall neck. You can shecht it anywhere you want. The skin is so thick, so if you want to write a mezuzah on parchment, they had a photograph once in the newspaper of a person shechted a giraffe, and then he took the hide and he made parchment out of it, and he wrote a mezuzah. So the mezuzah had to be taller than a foot tall, because the parchment is not like normal parchment that you can write small letters. You can write Shema B'Hayayim Shemoya on a small cloth. They had to have such a big cloth, otherwise they wouldn't be able to write on it. It's gigantic. But a giraffe taki is a kosher animal. Then the Torah singles out, if the animal only has malagera without mafis parsa without malagera, then you're not allowed to eat it. So one example is a chazir. Pasuk Zion and chapter Yudalev. Chazir came up as parsa v'shosa shesa parsa v'ogeru lo yigar. Has split hoofs. Mafis parsa. Yeah, but it doesn't, it's not malagera, so it's not kosher. Okay, so chazir, we know what it is. There's a medrash on the pasuk chazir. Lama nigashma chazir. Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachzir liyisol. The day will come that the Rebbeinu Shlom will allow the Jewish people to eat the chazir. So in the Sefer, I think it's called Minchas Kinoos by Rabbi Mori from Marseille, if I'm not mistaken. And Minchas Kinoos is a collection of the whole correspondence regarding the Cherem, Anamur, and Nevuchim. So they have the letters of the Rosh and the Rajbo corresponding with each other, and the Meiri. They were all the same time, and different letters from Balei HaTosfos. So they raise an issue there. The Rambam writes that one of the Yud Gimel Ikori Hamun is Zos HaTor Lo Sein Mechlefes. The laws of the Torah will never be changed. So how can it say, Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzir Li Yisrael? So some interpreted that the day will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change the nature of the Chazir, and it will be Malagera. It will be Malagera. So it will be kosher, it will be Malagera, Marfiz Parson. Okay. Rabbi Abba Mari from Marseille, I think the one who put together all these truths, I think he thinks that that's not what it means. He says the Chazir in Agadate always represents Esav, the Christians. Yaakov and Esav were twin brothers, and the Christians claim that they're the twin religion with Judaism, and there's a Judeo-Christian tradition. The Rambam in the Geres Hashmad, I think in the Geres Hashmad makes fun of it. He says, what do you mean? It's a twin religion to the Jewish religion. It's like you'll have, let's say, a wax museum where they have a statue made from wax of a person. Then you have that person standing next to the wax statue. So the person is warm because he has blood circulation. He's going to blink and he's breathing. The statue is nothing. The statue is dead. It's wax or it's a metal or whatever it is. So he says, what do you mean? You're going to have Judaism next to Christianity and you can't tell the difference. They're twin religions. How are they twin religions? This is alive and kicking and this one is dead from the very beginning. No such thing as Judeo-Christian tradition. Now, Soloveitchik used to complain about that. No such, we don't have anything in common. We're very, very different. Anyway, but they have the Malchus. They have the Malchus Edom. Is always referred to by the in the Midrashim as the Chazir. And they stick out just like a Chazir sticks out his feet to show that he's Mafis Parsa and he's kosher. He doesn't let you see that he's not Malagera. So the Christians always claim that they're the real Jews and they have the Jewish tradition and they're the twin religion and so on. So that's what it means. Israel, the Malchus will be given back to the Jewish people. It doesn't refer to eating Chazir. First to the Malchus, Edom. That's what this Rabbah Amari, the one who put together the Likud of all the Jews, that's what he wrote. Question is, what is the Shofan and what's the Neves? The Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah that Talmai HaMelech requested of the 72 Zakenim that they should come to Egypt and they should translate the Torah for him. So they made the Targum HaShivim, the Septuaginta. Talmai's wife was named Arneves, so they were afraid to write the Pasuk the way it says in translation Arneves because they'll think that we're making fun of her. So they changed it. Instead of Arneves, they wrote Tziras HaRaglaim. So the question is, what is the Arneves? Kimala's Gerahi, it's Mala Gera. Afarsa Allah, he frees up the whole Pasuk. And what's the Shofan? We're not sure what the Shofan is. We're not sure what the Arneves is. What's going on over here? So I just received in the mail a month ago, right before this epidemic broke out, a soft cover book by Rabbi Meir Lubin. He was in Chinuch for many, many years. I think he must be in his late 80s or early 90s, and he's in Flatbush. So the title of the book is More Thrilling Torah Discoveries. On the cover, he has a picture of Arneves and Shofan, and he claims, he gives the whole explanation in two pages, why he thinks that the Arneves is a two-humped camel, and the Shofan is a llama, and he gives the whole explanation why he thinks that this is so. And he says, the Pasuk says regarding the Gomel is Malagerhu Farsa Enenu Mafris. So the Targum Unkelis says on Pasuk Dalid, chapter Yudalid, Pasuk Dalid, U Parsasi Lo Sedika. The Parsa is not split. That's what it says in Targum Unkelis. So he's bothered with Akasha. If you ever saw a book with photographs, everyone will see that the camel does have split hoofs. So how can the Targum Unkelis say, Ufarsa enenu mafriz, that it's not tzedika, it's not split, it is split. So he doesn't know what to do with the Targum Unkelis, but he interprets, he translates the pasuk differently. Ufarsa enenu mafriz doesn't mean that it's not shosa shesa prasas, means split hoofs. The camel does have split hoofs. A farsa enenu mafriz means that it doesn't walk on its hoofs, that it has some kind of material on the bottom of the hoof that it walks on, but it doesn't really walk on the hoof. So he interprets that the Shofan and the Arneves are also such animals. He explains why it's a llama with the two-humped camel. They also... The only three animals like this in the whole wide world. I think the camel and these two. And the llama with this, the llama with the camel. That even though they have hooves, but they don't walk on the hooves. They walk on the elastic thing on the bottom of the hoof. He quotes that Hertz, in his translation of the Chumash, writes like that. Farsa nena mafris doesn't mean it's against the Targum Unkelis. We should check, maybe there's form written on the Targum Unkelis. Targum Unkelis translates Farsa Nena Mafris, that it's not split, but we know the camel is split hoofs. So he says, no, Farsa Nena Mafris, it doesn't walk on its hoofs. It walks on the elastic material on the bottom of the hoofs. It's a famous, difficult pasuk. Then with respect to the birds, the Pasuk in Chumash does give you a list of the non-kosher birds. Obviously, the Gemara says, obviously, the overwhelming majority of the birds are kosher. So if you know all of these birds that are treif, and you find a new bird, that's going to be kosher. All the birds are kosher except for these. The Chumash doesn't give you simanim by birds, but the Mishnah gives you. It's a famous sugya of Nesher, a sugya in the middle of Chulam with Machlekes. So we shine it long, long, long balamor over there, very long balamor, different shittas. But the Mishnah tells you how to identify whether any given bird is kosher or treif. based on the identification, a turkey is certainly a kosher bird, has all the simonim to be a kosher bird. The thing is that the Gemara tells a story that the Amoraim who lived in Bavel came upon a new bird that they never heard of before, and it corresponded, had all the five simonim that you're supposed to have, four or five simonim, makloikas rishonim, how to paskin, how many simonim do you need that it should be a kosher bird? So the turkey has all of them. And they started eating it. This is not a turkey, a different kind of a bird. And after a while, they realized that they misjudged, that they miscalculated, and they were eating a non-kosher bird. So Rashi, very unusual for Rashi. Rashi writes on the Gemara, in his commentary on the Gemara, since the Maroim fell in and made a mistake, so it's a good idea, we should never eat a bird unless we have a Masorah, that it's a kosher bird, because we too may misjudge. So this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch by the Ramah. The Mechaber doesn't quote. Mechaber quotes, if you have the four or five simonim to identify it's kosher bird, it's kosher, and you can eat it. The Ramah quotes this from the Sefer, what do you call it? Isabahet HaOruch, by the Rabbi Yoina. It's not the Rabbi, for I have an old edition of the Isabahet, reprint of the European edition. So it says on the first page, title page, it's Rabbi Yoina Girondi. Asfardi. It's not Rabbi Yonah Girondi. It's a different Rabbi Yonah Ashkenazi. He only quotes Baalei HaTosfos. Rashi and Baalei HaTosfos never quote Chachmei Svarot. It's a different Rabbi Yonah. Anyway, but the Rambam quotes it from the Rabbi Yonah, which is based on this Rashi on Perek Eilut Dreyfus, a recommendation. We shouldn't eat any bird unless you have a tradition, because he may be misjudging. So that was the issue with the turkey. Shalos and the side of the page in the big Yeridea and the sin about the kosher birds and non-kosher birds. So they quote the Shalos descendants don't eat turkey because of this issue that you don't really have a masur on the turkey. If the turkey would be able to have vlodas with a hen, it is able. But they do artificial insemination. We don't see that the turkey on his own has a vlad with the hen. So that's a question. That's a question. When the Gemara says that the peimetar and behemot tameo, there's a question whether that they can't be misapnis and mizeh and give off vlodis. Is that only by behemot? The reason by yofis also. So that's a machloikis. I think the chasam sefer and the tshuva assumes by yofis as well. So if you have two yofis that are mate and they have lotus together, so the fact that you have a masorah on one indicates the other one is also kosher. But over here, I don't think they have any turkeys who mate with hens. They do artificial insemination. So that's a question whether it applies to artificial insemination as well. So that's a question with the turkey. Why it's so common, why the practice is so common, everybody eats turkey. Then the psukim have the dinam of tuma. What's it doing in the middle of a yikra? Because they're,
Thing is, it's not as there's a tzad that maybe the fact that there's artificial insemination that it works and produces viable offspring that would in fact give it a status of masara, and not eating it without a masara is only a minhag. Couldn't you say that you could be makel on the minhag based on the suffix?
Could be. But that's exactly what the minig is, that we shouldn't judge on our own. I don't know. That's the issue. That is the question, yeah. So the Ramban comments on this. Why does the Torah have all the dinam of Tumah v'Tara here in Chumash Vayikra? Because the Kohanim, this is Torah's Kohanim. Chumash Vayikra is all about Kabbalah. The Kohanim cannot be Tomei if we want them to be in the Beis Hamikdash all the time. And being makra of all the karbanos. So if they're going to be tamei, they can't be makra and they can't eat the karbanos. So that's why what the dinim of tumah v'tara here. So the chumash has the shmoneh shvatzim hamurim b'torah, atzav achba v'halto and so on. The shmoneh shvatzim mitamei b'maisim. If they're dead, if they're alive, they're not mitamei. If they're dead, they're mitamei. Then the pasuk has kol holach al gochain. So there's a big vav. So the gemara says in kiddushin that the vav al gochain is the middle of the Osias and the Sefer Torah. It's the middle letter of the Osias. So Gemara has a suffix, is it the last letter of the first half of the Sefer Torah, is the first letter of the second half. So the Pnei Yeshua has on that Gemara and Kedushim, but there's a third possibility. Maybe it's the middle letter. Maybe it's not the last letter of the first head. Who says that there's an even number of letters? Maybe there's an odd number of letters, and the Vav is Mamish and dead center. So the Pnei Yeshua says, no, apparently the Gemara knew the tradition that appears in the Zohar. I think it's a Zohar on Koheles. I forgot about it. I think the Zohar on Koheles. That there is Shishim Biba Osios in the Sefer Torah, 600,000. Kemispar B'nai Yisrael. And that's an even number. The Gemara knew that it's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah. So Gemara didn't remember whether it's the last letter of the first half or the first letter, the second half, but it's not the middle, because there's an even number of letters. Gemara says, all right, so you don't remember. Nicely safer, bring a safe story, count all the letters, and we'll see whether it's the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. Gemara says, no, it's not going to help if we look at, count them up. And on it became mechaseris v'yiseris. What do you mean, and on it became? Means we, sounds like simple reading in the Gemara. That's how the Ramah assumes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. The Sefer Torah have mole and chaser all over the place. We have, there are words that can be spelled mole and can be spelled chaser. So even if you spell it incorrectly, we assume the Sefer Torah is kosher. That's a pella. How can it be? So the Ramah says that the meaning is, if you're in the middle of laning, you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So the Rambam in the Chubas HaRambam, the Rambam writes that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah even from the apostle of the Sefer Torah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah shechasa reisachas or yita reisachas. Sefer Torah has an extra letter, missing a letter, it's possible. But the Rambam in the Chubas writes you can learn Kriyas HaTorah from the apostle of the Sefer Torah. But we don't follow that Rambam. We follow the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah with a kosher Sefer Torah, and you can only learn Kriyas HaTorah from a kosher Sefer Torah. So the Ramah, so what's the din if you're in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, you find a mistake, there's a tof instead of a tes, or a tes instead of a tof. The Sefer obviously made a major mistake. So we follow the Mari Beirav, who made a compromise. He says, you don't require that they should lean over everything that they leaned until now. Whatever we learned already, but the evidence we rely on the Chubas HaRambam, that who writes that you can learn Lachatchila from the apostle of Sefer Torah. But Chatchila, we don't follow the Chuba. Lachatchila, we follow the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So you should stop learning as soon as you can. Stop learning from the apostle of Sefer Torah. Take out a kosher Sefer Torah and continue to the end. So what if you have a Sefer Torah and it has a misspelling? Not that it has a tof instead of a tes, or a tes instead of a tof, has a word that is supposed to be chaser and is spelled mole. It's supposed to be spelled mole and it's spelled chaser. So the Ramah writes in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that you're not making another Sefer Torah because of mole and chaser, because they know it became. So maybe the first Sefer Torah was more kosher than the second one. We're not too sure about mole and chaser. So that's the question. So all the Sefer Torah should be puzzled then, if there may be mistakes all over the place. So that's when the Minchas Chinuch raises that issue, and another issue that there are two traditions how to spell Petzua Daka with a at the end or an Aleph at the end. So all the Sefer Torah Safik Kosher, Safik Puzzle. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a teretz. And Belis Barrera, we assume that his teretz is the correct one. In the last 100 years or so, we follow that Minchas Chinuch, that if they made a mistake in spelling, let's say Noach, they spelled the name Noach with a long nun in a chaf, instead of regular nun and a ches, they spelled Noach. That's in Yiddish folklore, they speak about writing Noach with 7 mistakes. It's possible to spell Noach a long nun and a vav and a yud noy, a aleph, a, and a small chaf at the end of the words. Is that, I don't know, is that 7 mistakes? I forgot about it. Noach and zim greis, to spell the word Noach. So if you spelled Noach with a long nun and a chaf instead of a ches, that's dead wrong. But if you spell Noach nun vav ches, it's a correct spelling based on the dictionary. It's not the way the Masorah says. Hasara has is supposed to be spelled Nun Ches, not Nun Vav Ches. But let's say Aharon. Aleph Hey Resh Vav Nun. In the modern Hebrew and Eretz Yisrael and all the newspapers, they spell everything Mole. So it'd be easier to read. So whatever that you can put in a Vav or put in a Yud, it's easier to read it Mole. But it's not in accordance with the Masara. So that's what the Menachas Chinuch says. When is this? If a Torah puzzle, if it's mamish a misspelling based on the dictionary, there is no such spelling. But if based on the dictionary, it's a correct spelling, the only thing is that that's not in accordance with the Masoros. He thinks that that doesn't pass. Soloveitchik said in the name of his father a new interpretation in the Gemara, but it was against the Ramah. He said, we don't assume that there are no mistakes in the Sefer Torah. Whatever we have Mole is Mole, whatever is Chasa, we assume that it's correct. I, the Gemara says, ain't on the Bikim. No, he said, the Gemara asked, but the Vav of Gochen is the last letter of the first half, the first letter of the second half, on the assumption that it's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, we don't remember. So the Gemara says, we'll take out a Sefer Torah and we'll count them. And the Gemara says, ain't on the Bikim. What does it mean? So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, once you forgot the tradition, whether it's the last letter of the first half, the first letter, the second half, even if you take out a Sefer Torah and you'll ascertain which it is, that's no longer called the Masorah. Let's say they have in Tanakh Chidoim. So they ask, how many places in Tanakh do you have a Pasuk where you have five words in a row that only have two letters? Ki Gamze Loch Bein, or something like that. A few places. Where do you have five Aleph's in a row? Something like that. So those are not Masoros. Those are, believe it or not, that's not part of a Masoros. It was a Masoros. The Vav of Gochen is Emtza HaTevas, Emtza HaOsias. Then the Masoros was lost. Is it the last of the last letter of the first half, first letter of the seventh? So even if you'll count up the letters, you see which it is, it's not going to help. Because once the Masorah was lost, it was just a collector's item. He said, believe it or not, but it's no longer called Masorah. He thought that that's what the Gemara meant. Gemara didn't necessarily mean like the Ramah understood it to mean, that our Sefer Torah are not Meduyak. We have a lot of times Mole, where it should be Chas, or Chas, where it should be Mole. But that's what we usually assume, like the Ramah, that we have a lot of mistakes in our Sefer Torah, that the Mole should be Chas, and the Chas should be Mole, yeah. What are we up to? Then the Torah says about Binilasim Lasi Gau. If you have a nevela, so you shouldn't touch the nevela because it'll be metamayu. So Rashi quotes on the Tanoim. What do you mean, Binilasim Lasi Gau? There's no such issue. Even Kohanim are only prohibited from coming in contact with Tumas Meis, Tumas dead sheret. Any other Nevela, there's no issue even for Kohanim. So how can I say Bin Evelosim Lossi Go? So Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, but from the Gemara, it goes Berego, Chayvonim Tarasma Berego, on Sholosh Regolim. So that's the Pashim Shad, that's what the Shagas Zaris says. On Sholosh Regolim, you have to be Tohar in order to be able to enter the Azara. Is a mitzvah b'riyas panim b'azara. Bizman hazed is no, we don't have the ability to enter the azara. We don't have the ability to bring karbonas. So there's no, the din should not apply bizman hazed. That's a question that Rush at the very end of Yuma quotes Rav Sadi Gaon and disagrees with him. Sadi Gaon says, when you go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, you have to say, brocha shekev nishana b'mitzvah sel tzivano ala tefillah. So the Rush understood the Rav Sadi Gaon as saying Chayvonim Taratzma Beregel applies not only in Sholosh Regolim, even applies on Erev Yom Kippur, and it applies even as Manasa, even though there's no Aliyah LeRegel today. And the Rosh disagrees that the din doesn't apply as Manasa, and if you say Brachel, be a Brachel Avatol. So the later Achrenim come to defend the outside, he didn't mean because of the din Chayvonim Taratzma Beregel. He meant, it says, Lefnei Hashem Titoru, in connection with Yom Kippur. So apparently he understood Lifnei Hashem Titaru, as you're about to enter into Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, you should go to mikveh. The Ramban, on the end of Yuma, the last paragraph of Yuma, he learns Lifnei Hashem Titaru, as you're about to enter into Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, you should cleanse yourself from Averis and recite Vidui. Special mitzvah to recite Vidui, Erev Yom Kippur, right before you accept the Kedushas Hayom. That's why when you come to Shul, you daven Mincha before Suda Mapsekas, then you come to Shul after Suda Mapsekas, and the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Shaloh, who's basing it on the Ramban, that you should really say Vidui again. As Rav Soloveitchik's father introduced, and Rav Soloveitchik introduced it here, in America and Yeshiva, they should say, everyone should say Vidui again. Lifnei Hashem Titor. So that's the mocker of the Rav Sadi Gaon. But others understood the Rav Sadi Gaon, like the Rosh understood it. That he means Chayvaram Taratz Merbregel, even applies Bizman Azeh, and even applies on Yom Kippur, even if there's no Aliyah L'Regel. That's one thing what the Shagas Aryeh said. If you won't go to Mikvah Nerva Regel, you won't be able to do Rias Panim Bazar. But another explanation was that the Kedusha of Shabbos is so powerful, so Shabbos will have a hashpah on the Jewish people, even if we're in the state of Tumah. But Kedusha's Yontif is not as strong. Even Yom Kippur is closer to Shabbos than Shalosh Regalim is, than Rosh Hashanah is, because Yom Kippur is no Heter Echol Nefesh, but still it's not as powerful as Shabbos. So Shabbos, there's no din chayvanam tayratzma on Erev Shabbos. But on Erev HaRegel, in order to be able to absorb more of the influence, more hashpah and the kedusha sayam of yantif, we should all be in a state of tara. Even if you're not being oiler regal, it's a whole different, very different understanding. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this interpretation and is the Yoni Hashas on Chagiga, and then he shows from the Gemara that there is an Indian even on Arab Shabbos. Shouldn't say that kedusha sayam of Shabbos is so powerful. It has the same hashpa on a person, even if he's in a state of tumah. He has rise from the Gemara, from Nigla, that it'll have, Lusha Shabbos will have a stronger hashpa on the person if he went to the mikveh before. Then the Chumash has the dilem of the what's mekabel tumah, or the mikveh, mochel mamashkim, the four things. Ochel is only mekabel tumah if it had hechsher, kiyut amayim al zera. And the Gemara points out, ki yutan is spelled yud tof nun, but you read it yutan. So there's a kri and a ksiv. So whenever there's a conflict between a kri, a discrepancy between a kri and a ksiv, then there's a machloek a satanim. Do you pass on like a kri or do you pass on like the ksiv? So do you say ki yitin mayim only if a person pours the water, or ki yutan, even if it happened by itself, even if it rained on it? So the Tosfos writes in the beginning of Sanhedrin, there's a long daf dalet there in Sanhedrin about Yeshem la mikra, Yeshem la masaris, about this machlokes, but your father decreed a ksiv whenever there's a conflict between the two. So the Tosfos says the klal from the Gemara, whenever you can formulate halacha by combining both the kriya and the ksiv together, so everyone agrees that you do that. When you can't combine both together, then it's a machlokes atanaim. The pasuk like the ksiv, the pasuk like the kriya. Here we darshan. If it rains, I might have a bushel of apples and it rains. If I'm aware of the fact that it's raining now and I'm happy about it, that it's yutan dumi deitan the nichalei, then the apples are huchshel kabul tuma. But and it doesn't have to daft be water. There is I mashkim that I'm huchshel kabul tuma. And if it's yutan, I was sleeping. And I find out in the morning that it was raining all night long, and now the apples are dry because it already stopped raining in the middle of the night. So that's called the yutan not doing it the eating because it was nichle. He didn't know about it at all. So then the apples will not be hochshel lekabel tuma. Then the psukim say when you have odom lekalim, they can become tar. Echel and mashkin have no tar b'mikveh. Odom lekalim do have water. Has tara b'mikveh, but that Rashi writes, and if you place it, that's not midin tvila. There's no tvila in the mikveh, that's midin zriya. Zarei mayim al pnei chutzos. When you have tami dika water and you have a hashoka with a mikveh, so that's considered as if zriya. And let's say if you have a potato with tami and plant it in the ground and it takes root, so then it becomes tohar. So if you have water, zarei mayim al pnei chutzos, if you have tami dika water and you can cause it to connect with a mikvah, with mea mikvah, so hashoka is considered like a zriya. But aside from hashoka by zriya, by water, there's no tarah in mikvah for ochlim and mashkim, only for odim and kelim. But the tarah in the mikvah can either be in a mikvah or in a mayon. Ach mayon abor mikvah mayim yihya tahor. That's pasuk lamed vav in chapter yudav. Ach mayon abor mikvah mayim yihya tahor. The person will become tahor, and the meha mikvah and the meha mayim will remain tahor also. A mayon is the source of the waters from under the ground streams, and a bor mikvah mayim means it's from melting snow or from the rain. You always have a combination of both. Let's say in the ocean, there's a lot of water comes from under the ground, and there's always rain adding on. So the Mishnah is saying, because it depends on the roiv. A mikvah is only mitar be'esh barin, if the water is stagnant. If it's flowing, if it's zechlin, it's no good. Yeah, the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk Achmayin at Bar Mikvah Mayim Yihi at Tahor means the person whose title will become Tahor. Or the water in the Mikvah will remain Tahor. The Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation that the word Yihi at Tahor refers to the Isabas HaMikvah, that has to be Habayasal Adei Dovashenim Mekabal Tuma. Let's say if it's raining and I have a Mikvah and I put a chair near the window, so that the water bounces, the water from the rain bounces on the chair and it falls directly into the mikveh. So that's called habayasa deidaba habakabal tuma. A person, let's say, there are puddles of water all over the place, and I take a broom and I push the water into a bor, directly into the bor. So adam is a daba habakabal tuma. So that's called is habayasa deidaba habakabal tuma. So that's a psula in the mikveh. The Torah Shabbat Peh learns it out from the psukim. We mentioned before that the milk that comes from a non-kosher animal or the eggs that come from a non-kosher bird may not be eaten. That's an isad deraisa. It's a machlokes the ram mitosis, but there's malchus. If you drink milk from a pig or you eat eggs from an eagle, is there malchus? The Rambam says it's an isar asay, but there's no malchus. And Tosfos Shita and Eilat Reifus, that there's even malchus. It is din. A yotzei min atomei tomei, the eggs and the milk from a non-kosher animal that may not be eaten, is learned out from the pasuk bas hayano. Why does it say bas hayano? The male is also prohibited. It's not only the female. The Gemara says the bas hayano refers to the beitza asayf tomei. The egg is awesome. Then there's a Gemara in Pesachim over Pesach. I was learning Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Shviyas that a person is not allowed to be in a non-kosher food business. Let's say I have a butcher shop and I sell nevelos and dreifos. I go hunting for non-kosher animals to sell them. If you raise horses and you sell them for racehorses, for racing or something like that, or for riding, this is quotes Yerushalmi, that's permissible. Or if you go hunting for mink is a non-kosher animal, but you do it in order to get the fur. You're not doing it for eating purposes, so that's not prohibited. But to be in, to sell, let's say, to raise chazerim is an isa derabbanan. So he says, why is an isa derabbanan? Should be an isa deraisa. And so he says, raising chazerim in order to have the skin to make footballs out of it or something. He's not raising it to sell the pork, to eat that people should eat it. Even though he's selling the pork to non-Jews in the middle of Harlem, and there's no lifnei but the city mission, but that's an isa. Schar da machalos hasurus is also. But if it's nizdamnu, then it's muta. Let's say his father wasn't religious, so the father had a non-kosher meat business. Then the father died, and the son is a baal tshuva, the son is observant. What does he do with all that, all in the belus of treifus? So that's nizdamnu. It fell in. Let's say he goes hunting in order to catch trapped deer, and he happens that he trapped a non-kosher animal. So he's going to sell a non-kosher animal also. Nizdamnu is mutter. But to be in that line business in the first place, that's awesome. The Gemara learns that from Tukim, that it says, Tmei mihiyu lochem, yihiyu mean has the connotation of Bahavi Yosem yihiyu, that you're not allowed to be in the business. But if nizdamnu is mutter, if you fell in and you happen to have that, you have the non-kosher food, then you're allowed to make money on it. It's mutter, because it says lochem. Tmei mihiyu lochem, lochem means that it's mutter b'hanu. So that's a big machlokes in Poskim, but this drosh is an asmachta. Yihu b'habayasim yihu, and lachem means that it's mutter, lachem yihu, it's mutter b'anom. Is it a real drosh of deraisa, or is the whole thing an only asmachta midrabon? Before the Nazis decided to kill all the Jews, at first they made it so difficult for them to make a living, they cut them out of all normal parnosis. So there was a period of time that sometimes they had to be in a non-kosher food business. So this VDH lived through, survived the Second World War. So he has chubis about this. How serious a din? Are we dealing with a real din deraisa? Or is it just a din derabbanan? So that's a big shine. The Rambam says that one is permitted to be to sell, even though scherim and macholos asur is zasur, but by nevelus it's mutter, because it says by nevelus mutter, because it says algerish abshach denar machala a machala nachri. So it says is that the pasuk? I don't remember al chelav. No, al chelav. The Rambam says chelav nevelu vechelav terfi asur lachal malacha ba'achalos achlu. So the Torah says you can do whatever you want with it. So the Yisif and the Chumash, the Chelev is Mutter B'Schar. Even though Chelev, Taisa says not so. Taisa in the end of Meruba says that Chelev also has an Yisif Schar. But the Rambam says Yisif Schar doesn't apply to Chelev because of Beferish Apostle. So the Taisa says that the simple reading of the Rambam implies that the Yisif Schar is an Yisif Deraisa. And here there's a Beferish Apostle that says that there's no Yisif Schar. So you see the Rambam holds that's an Yisif Deraisa. So the Taz suggests maybe it's not necessarily Pshat and the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam also would agree that the Yisachar b'macholos asuris is only the Rabbanon. But what he meant to say was, it must be that it's Mutter B'schar, because the Chachamim have no right to make a Gzer the Rabbanon, and a Gadol v'hamufurish b'Torah. So since it's a Beferish Pasuk, Yosel l'chol malacha, chelel nevel l'chel tref Yosel l'chol malacha, v'ocha lo sachlu. So you see, Yasal Hamalacha, the Torah was Maturit, so the Chacham would never make an Isa. So that's the famous Taz. That's very questionable. There are riots from Rishayim Lakan and Lakan. Abdavid Cohen from Gvul Yavitz, from Flatbush, has many, many, many extremely valuable Svarim. So one of his many Svarim is Divrei HaTaz HaYadua. On this Taz, he quotes many Mar Mekaymis. From Rishonim and from Acharonim who discussed this klala of the Taz, do we really hold like that klala or not? There is a stira and Rashi in two places in the Gemara. One is in Rashi and Chulam, one is in Saita. On the margin, they point out the stira. What's the din of a tful yom? A tful yom, a person went to mikvi, didn't yet have harashemesh. So he's not allowed to eat truma. So that's an isa derais. What if you have a kli that the tful yom? So the kli that's a tful yom will pasal truma. Is that also a din derais? The one place Rashi said that's only a din derabban. That's not a din derais. The other place Rashi says in the beferish pasuk gadare sedra, it says if you have a tomei dikin kli by mayim yuvah but tomei at ha'er v'toher. It says beferish that you need harav shemesh by a kli. As well, the kli can't eat truma. Obviously, the kli is going to contain the truma. So you see, beferish from the pasuk. That's what one of the two rashis writes like that. Beferish that you see from the pasuk from today's seder. Harav shemesh is a din deraisa. Not only that, a tful yom is not allowed to eat truma or kachim, that he passes truma or kachim. So that's a beferish pasuk. The Torah says if you have other mekelim atame, you can be tovel them in a mikveh. But if it's a klicheris, tefillah the mikveh isn't going to help. As you show there, you have to smash it. The din of shvira plus any kli that became tamei. Once you smash it, it'll become tahar. It'll lose its tumah. But klicheris, tefillah the mikveh doesn't help. So Kli Cheres is unique. Has no tar b'mikveh, because it has no tar b'mikveh, there's a kaklal at the end of Erevin. Because the very end of Erevin, one of the last dafim, called Av Shena Ein Lo Tar b'mikveh Yenasa Av Hatuma. Let's say there's a dead body in the building, so the dead body is Avi Avos Hatuma. So all the people, all the kelim, become an Av Hatuma. Whatever tomb is transmitted, it goes down a madrega. So if Av Hatuma touches something, so the thing is Mekabel Tuma, becomes a Rishon. If an Avi Avos touches, it makes the other things into an Av Hatuma. But a Kli Cheres can never be an Av Hatuma. That's the call. Kol Dobish Ein Lo Tar b'mikveh Ein Anasa Av Hatuma. Let's say there's a mace in a building, in a room. They have Ochel Mamashkim. Ochel Mamashkim have no Tar b'mikveh. So they can never become an Av Hatuma. Even though the mace is Avi Avos, the Tuma is transmitted, it goes down to Madregas. The Ochel Mamashkim will become a Rishon Tuma. So that's Kli Cheres has a couple of unique dinim. Number one, Tar b'mikveh doesn't help. Number two, therefore, can never become an Av Hatuma. Number three, can be Mekabel Tuma from the outside, min haTorah, mid the Rabbanan, yeah. But min haTorah, if the Adam Tami touches the outside, Migabo, it's not Mekabel Tuma. And then Mitocho, it's Mekabel Tuma, even Me'aviro. If I dangle a dead sheretz in a Kli Cheres, even though the dead sheretz didn't touch the inside of the Kli, it's just dangling there, so that's called Me'aviro. So it's Mekabel Tuma, Me'aviro. The Haftarah Parsha Shmini, which you're probably not going to hear tomorrow morning, unfortunately. The Haftarah is about when they were bringing the Aron HaBris with the Luchas in it back to Ir David. So David was bringing Karbonis, he was celebrating. So that's, it picks up on the theme of the first half of this Sedra. That when they were Mechanech, they made Chanukas HaMishkan, so they brought special karbanos. Aaron HaKohen brought special karbanos, and the Tzibur brought karbanos. Tzibur, special karbanos. And Dovid HaMelech was bringing many karbanos. And I saw a very interesting comment in the Sefer Avnei Shoham. Avnei Shoham was, I think, Rav Leib Shachor. I think it's a grandfather of Rabbi Chalap, or great grandfather. I forgot already. As he was a balabas, but he was a very learned balabas. He has beautiful ideas in his svarim, has a few svarim. So he raises the question that there's a medrash that says that Dovid HaMelech's brother Eliyahu was really roy to be the melech, but because he got angry, Ayichar Af Eliyahu, he got angry at Dovid and he screamed at him, "Why did you come to the battlefront? You left all the sheep. You're supposed to be grazing the sheep." He got angry at him. So the melech, he lost his opportunity to be appointed melech, and David was appointed instead of him. Because it says Ve'yichar Apai. But in today's haftarah, it says Ve'yichar Ab David. Also, David got angry. So why, if the melech has to be calm, cool, collected, and Aliyev lost his chance, so David should have also lost the chance. So he points out, he thinks that Ve'yichar Av is different from Vayichar. Vayichar did David. Vayichar Av means you got angry at somebody. So if you get angry at somebody, then you're not cut out to be the king. The king has to be able to deal with everybody benachas. To be a leader, you have to be able to deal with everybody without getting angry. But David HaMelech says he got upset. Peretz Uzzah, he got upset why Uzzah lost his life. He was upset at himself. He felt bad about it. That's okay. That's good. Once it does say Vayichar Av David, that's when the Navi told him the mashal of the Kivsa Sarosh. So the Navi was giving him a mashal. So then he's not talking about a real person. Just he told him over a story, a mashal. Then he said, "You're the one. You're the one who stole the Kivsa Sarosh." So David got angry about the make-believe person, but there wasn't a real person. So that's the difference, he says. Vayichar Av always means get angry at someone, and Vayichar LeDavid means he got angry, he was upset. So he thought he has to do something about it. These are some of the themes in today's Sedra. We should be zecher soon to have Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos, everyone should be healthy.